Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current series, I interview the owners of four very different photography businesses, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the second of that series, and I interview Katie Cole of Kate Elaine Photography, based in New Hampshire. In this episode, pay attention to Katie's smart community building tactics, both online and offline, which have fueled her business growth. And she's got a top-notch way to qualify her leads, so she brings in the right clients to her business. Katie, I'm so excited to have you here on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Lauren. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, and I hope I said the Adirondacks correctly. I am not from the East Coast.
You did. My boyfriend constantly makes fun of me for a little bit of an accent that I have for it, too. So it works.
Oh, okay. Well, you've built up an incredible wedding business, wedding photography business, and I love your niche, which is really focusing on outdoor-loving couples. How did you decide to kind of focus in this area? Was it due to personal passion or demand that you saw? I'd love to hear a little more about that.
Oh, thanks. It's actually kind of cool because it fits perfectly with my personality. I'm a very big outdoors lover, but I also really enjoy just being around not just nature, but like in cities and small towns too. So literally being outside, like in the sun, which fits basically any human. so that's kind of cool. And the way that I like exploring small towns and getting to know areas, kind of, I wanted to be able to showcase the people that lived in those areas. So it just kind of worked itself in together.
Well, I think it's really amazing because for the right couple, that kind of specialization really speaks to them. I think, you know, if you want a photo that really emphasizes your small town or some beautiful outdoor scenery, then it makes you stand out among all the other wedding photographers in the area and really helps you attract the right kind of clients who are going to love what you do.
I agree. And I really love being able to show, I've actually shown a bunch of couples their own town's beauty just by being able to like rock around the corner, see a shop, or see like this beautiful field that they've driven by 8,000 times, so that now they're able to look at differently.
That's pretty cool. And I'm thinking about my neighborhood, and there's, you know, like, I'm sure within a 3-block radius, a lot of places that you might scout that I would never even think of. How do you scout, and what does that process look like? Do you do a lot of work ahead of time? Do you know the locations before you go shoot? What does that process look like?
The majority of the places that I go and shoot, I don't know anything about. There's a few like generic spots that a lot of people will want to take their pictures in. For example, if you're local to the Adirondacks, a lot of places in Lake Placid or Keene are very picturesque, and they're really well known just from social media or seeing them on the internet. So a lot of people will want their pictures taken on Mirror Lake or with some of the mountains in the background. But if I'm going to go to like a small town in central Pennsylvania, it's kind of just like you show up, you have 20 minutes to kind of look around and see what works within the environment that you're able to basically put a couple in. So it looks a little differently, I guess, depending on not only what the couple wants, but where they are located and how much time that we have to scout. So if I'm able to be in the area for about 10 to 20 hours beforehand, I can like drive around and look for those locations before the shoot, or if I've been there before. But if it's somewhere where we just kind of are driving into that day and I only have about 3 or 4 hours before the shoot starts, it's really just based on, okay, does this space look good? Is it private property or public property? And does a couple look good in it?
I'm so impressed because that is not how my brain works. And I feel like I would need like a whole week to figure that out. So, you know, I imagine all of your clients love the final result. And sometimes maybe you show them, you know, something turns out a lot better than they expect because it's a place they've walked by every day, or they don't necessarily really see the beauty in the same way that you do.
Yeah, that's definitely a blessing to hear their point of view usually too.
Yeah. So you started your business 8 years ago. I'd love to hear what inspired you to go out on your own.
So I actually started shooting about 11 or 12 years ago, but business-wise, I did start about 8 years ago, and it started with my very first wedding in 2013. It was just a classmate that I'd known from high school who knew I took some people's portraits and like senior portraits, and they really liked those pictures that they saw a few years prior. And they reached out and said, hey, do you want to shoot our wedding? We don't really have a lot of money. We don't really have a lot of time or resources, but we really like what you've done for so-and-so's senior portrait. So I went to the wedding, shot it, had never been in the wedding industry before, had never even been to a wedding. And when I got there, it was just everything that I loved in all aspects. So you had people in love, you had families crying over the bride and her dress. There was like the detail shots, like the fine tuning of like a flat lay and all these beautiful things to just photograph all over the place. On top of that, you also had like these puzzles that you had to figure out, like these, the time management puzzle you had, how is this couple going to look good in the sun at this time of day kind of puzzle. And it was just like, it was all of the things that I really enjoyed all in one spot. So after they handed me a check for, I think it was $250, I walked out of there and I was like, I can make money at this. And it's all the things that I love. And I never went back.
Wow. That's incredible. And shooting a wedding is so different from shooting a senior portrait because one's posed, you have all the lighting set up for you, or you're setting up the lighting, but there's a lot more moving parts in a wedding. So I imagine maybe as much as you loved it, you also felt a little like, oh my gosh, this is completely different than shooting senior portraits.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you figure out all those puzzles? Was it just shooting more and more weddings and trial by error?
Yeah, a lot of trial by error. I actually had talked to a few other photographers that I knew, like after this wedding, I started doing more research and getting to know other photographers who are in my area who shot weddings as well. I was in college at the time of the, like when I shot this wedding, and there was actually another girl in my photography class. Her and her husband had videography and photography business. So I'd reached out to them and I asked them a bunch of questions. They kind of like led the way for me in the very beginning. And then from there, it really was just trial by error and keeping that in mind going forward. Don't do this, or you need to start implementing this every time. Just things like that.
That's fabulous. And I don't know that trial by error is the best phrase, because it makes it sound like you're doing a lot wrong when you're doing a lot right. But, you know, smart of you to seek out some mentors. And that's one thing I want to touch on in a little bit, because you and I chatted before this recording this episode that you've really leaned on your community to propel your business. Has anything changed from when you started your business to who you're in terms of who you're serving and how you're serving them? How has that evolved since, you know, 8 years ago when you shot your first wedding for $250?
So a lot has changed. Actually, a lot has changed almost in like the last 3 years, it feels. I would say from 2013 to 2017, those 4 years, I kind of just picked up whatever, whenever. I didn't have a strategy. I didn't have anything in mind. I didn't even have like an ideal couple. I didn't even know what the term ideal meant, like ideal client, until I did a workshop with a photographer that I looked up to, and she kind of like laid the baseline, like, okay, this is what you're doing wrong and this is why you're doing it wrong. And from that point going forward, 2017-ish, up until just this right now, everything from the way that I reach out to people to the way that I look at my clients. But so the entirety of my business changed just because I'd gotten guidance from that workshop.
Yeah, that's okay. When you're, you know, in the beginning, you don't know what you don't know, and seeking guidance from someone who's farther ahead than you can really fast track things and make things a lot easier. And it sounds like that's what that workshop did for you, was, hey, I could photograph all weddings, any weddings. And then you went to the workshop and you kind of, I don't know if revamped is the right word, but started looking at things through a new lens, photographer pun intended.
Yes.
You know, how did your audience change after that, your ideal client, if you will? Did you start focusing on outdoor loving couples then?
I did, yes. So at this point, I was basically just taking anyone who would throw me a penny and anyone who would give me the time of day. And I wasn't really paying attention to how that not only impacted like the mood that I had in each session, but also the enjoyment that I got out of photography. And I was getting very burnt out just by shooting anyone who would give me any sort of money for any type of shoot. And then it came to the point where after this workshop and after I'd had the conversations with this mentor, I realized that if I wanted to continue down this path, I was going to really hate my job. And you never want that when you're going into the field that you like, you want to spend all your time in. So I switched my entire outlook of just anyone who could throw me money to only people who actually enjoyed not only my work, but also myself and me, because I'm a very person person. I like to be around people. I like to talk to people. I like to help people and get to know people. And if the person that I'm going to be working with for an 8 to 10, 12 hour wedding day over the course of a year doesn't like that, like who I am, it's just going to be draining the entire yeah. way. So that's kind of how my audience shifted. I started looking out for people who would be more into the activities that I'm into, more into the same type of conversations, same type of values, and also people who valued not only me, but my time and experience.
I think that's really incredible. And it's kind of a common early pitfall or early part of the journey in the service industry, where you have an amazing skill set and you serve everyone, and then you and then you quickly realize, hey, this, if I keep doing it this way, this isn't going to be as enjoyable as I thought. And marketing becomes a lot easier when you hone in on a very specific audience. Like, it's a lot easier for someone, for example, to scroll through your portfolio and be attracted or repelled by it based on whether they enjoy, you know, those type of landscapes or the type of shots that you're shooting. But when it's, you know, I'm shooting every wedding, or I do graphic design for all types of businesses, I think it can be a little challenging sometimes to bring in the right type of clientele, especially because you're working so closely with them and it's a very personal endeavor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can only speak to photography, but especially for wedding photography, when you're talking to them about like their most important day that they're going to have for their life. Yeah, you're getting very close with these couples. And if you can't spend time with them 40 hours a week sometimes, then you probably can't work with them.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I'd love to talk a little bit about your marketing, because you have a really unique approach that leverages community. And everyone who's listening to this podcast has already listened to our first episode where we talk through the marketing framework that I like to use as a filter when I'm talking to business owners about their marketing. But essentially it's, you know, how do we bring new eyeballs to our work? So how do we generate new leads? How do we sort through who's going to be a buyer now and who might be a buyer later? And how do we keep them top of mind? So both lead qualification, so qualifying our leads and nurturing them. And I'd love to apply that to your business. But before we do, maybe you could just share a little bit about your community approach and how that's fueled your business growth.
Oh, absolutely. So I like Lauren said earlier, I'm a huge advocate for community and knowing your tribe. Your vibe attracts your tribe. 100% believe in that. And growing that community that's going to support you and be along every decision in your personal life, in your professional life, in your social media life, which I totally believe is a whole different life sometimes, can definitely help not only help you when you're down, but help you grow as a business owner. I have a very small community, I would say, in comparison to a lot of people on social media, but they are very strong and tight knit, and they would go up to battle for me, which is very, very awesome to say. And it's only taken maybe about 2 years to foster and grow that community on Instagram alone. So I would say that the approach that I take to community is maybe a little bit more hardcore than a lot of people would kind of take into consideration, just because they have really backed me in times that I've had mild depression. They've helped me get out of that. Many funks, creative funks that I get into, especially when we went into the pandemic this past, a year ago at this point. Everyone was down in the dumps, and the only way that I wanted to continue to foster a community was to put up like photo challenges on Instagram. And that really helped people get out of their funks that they were in. And it helped foster the community a little further. And it actually helped give me a purpose during the time when we were in lockdown and like stuck at home.
Yeah. So the wedding industry was hit super hard by the pandemic. I have a few clients in that industry. I have vendors who I worked with when I got married a couple years ago, who I know have been hit really hard because we've been chatting. So I really love that cultivated a professional community, because I agree that, you know, the roller coaster you go on when you own your own business is a little bit different than kind of your personal life. And having people who've been there or who are going through the same thing or who can support you because they have some empathy for what you're going through is so incredibly valuable. You know, a personal friend is fabulous, but they just can't always identify with, hey, the pandemic hit and I don't know where my next paycheck is coming from, you know? So, and you mentioned Instagram community, but I know you also work with your local community. So maybe you could distinguish between the two and how both of those play a role in your business.
It's been a little difficult to get involved in my local community as of late, just because of all of the social distancing and everything being canceled. But one way that I try to get very involved in my local community is honestly just by getting out there, going to events that are held by the community. I live in New Hampshire, and so everything is very small towny here. Very small town events, small town fairs. There's like flea markets and whatnot. Very basic New England. And the best way that we were able to get connected with a bunch of friends in the area and build a community was by going to the community put on events. So things that our local Chamber of Commerce put on, our local young professionals, networking groups, getting involved in volunteering. What else did we do? We did local Make-A-Wish volunteering events, just getting our faces out, my face out there, getting my business name out there, and just putting face to name kind of thing over and over again, walking up and down Main Street, etc.
Smart. So, you know, if we're thinking about how are you generating new eyeballs for your business, that's a really kind of grassroots but effective strategy. Sometimes I think we go online before we tap into our local community, thinking that it's going to be easier. And often the faster, more direct path is, hey, here I'm photographing in this specific area, so let me get in front of other people who live here and may become clients or may refer me to other clients.
Right. My biggest tactic, I guess you could say, quote unquote, tactic when we first moved to New Hampshire about 3 years ago, was making friends. And the best way to do that was to go to the same coffee shop every day, get to know the barista introduced you to the next person in line because they see the same people every day, or going to the local bar, getting to know the bartender gets to know you, they introduce you to a person at the table behind you or something like that. And that small bit of networking and that bit of connection helps foster the beginnings of a community that can help you branch out to a further range.
That is so smart. Plus, you get to have some coffee and a cool cocktail simultaneously. So.
Very true.
But also, you're talking to people who, I guess, are very leveraged in the sense that they know most of the community. They know a lot of the community. So they're not just introducing you to one person, but multiple people. So you're really getting a lot of bang for your buck there. So I'd love to talk a little bit about your Instagram and social media. How big of a role does that play for you in terms of getting new eyeballs on your business, or even getting, you know, turning eyeballs into clients? Or is it more of a online portfolio where people might take a quick glance, but they're not interacting with you all that much there?
Ooh, definitely not the last option.
Yeah.
My Instagram is very much so not my portfolio. I tend to post a little bit more personal information on there as well, just because I want the people on social media to get to know me personally as well. So I have a fun little background. I actually lived in the state of upstate New York for the majority of my life. And then we moved here to New Hampshire about 3 years ago. So when we moved here to New Hampshire, we didn't know a soul at all here. And that's kind of when Instagram and other social media platforms stopped being only about, a portfolio and started becoming a little bit more personal and connecting, because not only did we have to stay in touch with people that lived 6 to 8 hours away from us, and we didn't know how to do that all the time, but then we also had to show who we were to people in our like local community that didn't really get a chance to know us yet from that one touch point at the coffee shop. So I would say that Instagram is probably the most used app on my phone. It's also probably my most overused social media outlet. I tend to slide into a lot of people's conversation, into their DMs for a conversation. And I also tend to maybe send more memes than I probably should.
Is that ever a problem? I don't know.
I really hope not. I have a thing called Meme Day Friday, which a lot of people will send me memes throughout the week. So I'm hoping that that means that I don't send as many memes as I should. But yeah, it's definitely a community grower through social media more than it is a portfolio. Does that answer your question?
It does. So you're really using Instagram as a way to take the relationship and conversation further, not just by getting comments and likes on a photo, but also starting a conversation privately in
right.
a DM.
Now, that doesn't mean that I find all of my clients on Instagram. It's another way for them to get to know me and see it creates that know, like, trust factor a little bit deeper. So that way they can get to know me without having to hold the conversation with me. So that way, when we do hold the conversation about, hey, your wedding's coming up, do you want to hire me? They feel like they already trust me enough that they want to be really close with me for the entire day of their wedding.
I think it's super smart. And I think when you talk about, hey, we need to like each other in order for this to be a great fit as a client, Instagram's helping speed up that process for you without having to meet every single person you're talking to for coffee 6 times, right?
Oh, yes. Saves a lot of money.
Yeah. Okay. So chatting about kind of how you qualify your leads, and I'll just dive into this because I kind of see on your website where I'd like to take this. I just love, which is pretty common in the photography industry, but not so much in other services. I love your contact form. I love that you're not just asking someone their first name, email, and leave a message. I love that you're really saying, hey, if you want to talk with me, I need to know a little bit more about your wedding and your event so that I know whether this is going to be a good fit. So you're asking, you know, estimated guest count. You're asking what the wedding date is, presumably because if you're already booked, then you can't shoot 2 weddings at one time. You're asking about where did they find you. So you kind of have an eye on what marketing efforts are working. You're asking about their budget and even some questions like, why are you excited to capture these memories that really allow you to dive into kind of the emotional side of the wedding and the big day? And I just think it's such a brilliant inquiry form. Does it help you have sales conversations or speed up the sales conversation process?
It speeds it up 100%. So people who are price shoppers who really don't want to take the time to get to know me, but maybe their barber referred them or something, it takes those out already because they aren't going to want to fill out. They're not going to want to take the time to fill out all of those questions. And then for the people who are at that point really kind of are interested, but they don't really know, they're still looking at like two or three other photographers, then we're able to hold that conversation based around not only their date, but their budget. And if I know that they already can't afford me for what they're asking for, then I'm going to either refer them on or kind of like, yes, just refer them on, I guess, just end it there.
Yeah.
And then the very last question kind of helps get to know not only if they're a good, if I'm a good fit for them, but if they're a good fit for me. So in that section, they'll tell me a little bit about their love story. Sometimes I'll get paragraphs, like books in that section. And other times it'll just be like, oh, I like to ski and my boyfriend and I met skiing. Can you work on, we'd like to do 10 changes of outfits with 50 bridesmaids or something like that. So it'll be like one or two sentences and then a bunch of demands. And then I'll also know, okay, they're probably not the client for me, even if they are an outdoor loving couple. So it definitely does help with the vetting process.
Yeah. And I think this is a really easy win for anyone who's listening, where a sales call is a part of your process. If these are questions you're asking in every sales call, you can plug them into a form on your website instead of your traditional contact form. And you find out a lot about who's inquiring upfront. You can then decide, am I going to take the sales call or not? Or do I refer them on, as Katie mentions? And also it allows you to get, in my opinion, dive deeper in the sales call than you would if you had to ask all of these questions up front, because you know, your time would run out. So you really get to focus on, for example, why are you excited to capture these memories, and talk about how your process allows you to do that in a way that really captures the emotion alongside a beautiful landscape, for example.
The only thing that I would say is to err on the side of adding too many questions. So before I had this contact form specifically, I had lost out on a bunch of really awesome leads because they had figured, I had like two scrolls worth of a contact form. And I had asked all the questions that I would ask during my normal sales pitch versus allowing a little bit of mystery between the two of us.
Yeah, that's smart. So how did you come to the conclusion that you had lost a bunch of leads and you needed to shorten the form?
I had seen a lot of eyeballs on the page on the back end, like watching which pages were more visited, and then I saw them drop off. As soon as I switched to this new form and cut down a lot of questions, I started seeing the numbers and the people who were actually using the contact form about the same.
Super smart. And I noticed this is really the only way, well, your email is here, but there's no other way for someone really to inquire about your services. So you're really kind of forcing them to take the time to answer some of these basic questions, but you could still fill it out in, you know, 5 minutes, which if you're looking at a wedding photographer, it's perhaps one of the most important vendors of your wedding. And so you're going to take the time to make sure you find the right person.
Right. And I do make sure I lead all of my other platforms to this contact form. So it's all in one spot.
Yeah, I love that. And then what do you do if you talk with someone, but they're not yet ready to pull the trigger? Where do you send them so that you continue having touch points with them? Do you send them to Instagram? Do you email them? Is it a combination of both? How do you kind of stay top of mind? How do you nurture them?
It is a combination. I will email them after our phone call, and I'll let them know, like, I'm really excited to work with you in the future. Hopefully you are feeling the same way. If you'd like to get to know me a little further, I hang out on Instagram. You'll be able to find me in the stories, and I'll usually leave it at that. 9 times out of 10, this usually works. They'll start following me on Instagram, and they'll get really excited. They'll see that everything that I was talking about in the sales call wasn't me trying to sell them. It was actually who I was as a person. And then they'll say, okay, we finally trust you. We'll go that next step. There's always that one person or one couple that's like, we found someone better. And that's fine. I'm glad. And that's the other thing, is that if they do come back to me saying, hey, we found someone else, just wanted to let you know, or I'll follow up with them saying, do you need my services? And then they'll let me know. I still congratulate them, say, I'm really excited for your photographer. They're going to have an awesome couple. And that has still led them to refer me to their friends or keep following me on Instagram and sharing my work to their community.
I love that approach. And to be honest, I think, you know, the whole goal of a sales call is to get a yes or no, not to get indecision. And so someone letting you know, hey, we've booked someone else, also lets you off the hook a little bit in terms of the follow-up, because you're not just constantly like, okay, I need to follow up with them next week. I need to follow up with them 4 weeks from now.
Oh, yes. If it goes past about 2 or 3 weeks for me, I consider that I have other people that are probably looking for that same date. So I'll shoot them an email asking if they're still interested in my services. And at that point, they're usually gone with someone else and they're ghosting me. So
that decision then happens pretty quick by the time someone reaches out and has a conversation with you.
Yeah, it's usually about a 2 week max decision for them.
Wow, that's really great information to have, because it allows you to move quickly.
Oh, yes. As a wedding photographer, I don't shoot with other associates like some other photographers do. So my 52 weekends in a year are super precious to me. So if you're going to book 15 of those 52 weekends out of the year, then I would need to know like within 2 or 3 weeks. Otherwise, the next person in line who wants your same date and is fantastic and loves climbing up Mount Washington or something is also looking to take that date. So, yeah.
Yeah. I often think about wedding vendor schedules and how precious time is and how you are giving up weekends and holidays to do your work. And I think that's a really smart way to build in some scarcity in an authentic way, meaning you do only have so many weekends a year and you do have a queue of people waiting to book those. So, you know, make a decision or move on to someone else.
Right. And it sounds bad to say, but it's also like the reality of the situation, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So is there anything else that you feel like you're doing that another business owner, and not necessarily in photography, might benefit from for their marketing? So you talked about connecting with the local community. You talked about Instagram and using that as more of a conversational platform to build the know, like, and trust factor. And then we talked about your inquiry form. Is there anything we might have missed? And feel free to say no.
Yes, actually, there is one thing that I feel like a lot more businesses would benefit from that I feel like a lot of individuals are starting to get into, especially with seeing apps like Clubhouse, and now Instagram is starting to come out with a Clubhouse-esque feel to it, is voice memos. Being able to type out a paragraph and sending it off to someone might take less time if you're able to throw it into a 5-second voice memo. I've noticed a lot of my clients actually don't even blink an eye when I started switching from the concept of typing everything out to having them listen to it. And they'll still respond by typing everything out, which is fine. But then they're able to hear my voice. They're able to hear the inflection of tone if I'm saying something. And it only takes me a fraction of the time to get what I need to say out versus spending all of that time typing it up or making sure that it doesn't sound aggressive because the sentence structure isn't like what my normal inflection would be.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And where do you send these voice memos? Are they sent through text? Are they sent through Instagram DMs? Are they sent somewhere else?
So they're sent through Instagram DMs primarily. That's usually how I get a lot of my points across. But I'll also send it via text, via Facebook Messenger. I have a few clients who have like Marco Polo, which is like a video back and forth app. So I'll just send them like a quick video or a quick Snapchat. So there's a lot of different platforms I'll use it on, and I've integrated it into all of the platforms so far.
That's a really great tip. And, you know, Clubhouse is pretty hot, but things don't stick around for very long there, and you have to be live, and that's a whole nother conversation. Right. But I just love, hey, how can I communicate in a different way, but continue expressing my tone, building that know, like, and trust factor, and giving people another way to communicate that may be easier for them. Because I imagine some of them reply with voice memos back to you.
Some of them do. And I've actually gotten to know a few of my community members just through their voice, which is definitely interesting, especially if I've never met them before.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I really appreciate you sharing everything that's been working for you. And I just wanted to know, like, if you have one piece of advice to give another business owner or maybe even a photographer who's working on their marketing and growing their business, what would it be?
To build a solid community and interact with them genuinely. That community will help you grow deeper and further than you ever thought possible.
Yeah, so really an emphasis on a long-term relationship with some sort of community, whether it's local or online.
A long-term, genuine community, I feel like. You can still be part of a community and very fake, but having the actual want and desire to be there and to serve them is also really important.
Yeah, so I think that emphasis on building a deep relationship, you know, often we forget in the online world, especially, that the whole purpose of social media, the whole purpose of email marketing, the whole purpose of content is to build a deeper relationship with another human, not just how many likes do I have, not just, you know, to shoot the breeze and not build a deeper conversation. The more relationships you have, the more business that gets sent your way. So I really love that piece of advice. Well, Katie, thank you so much for sharing the behind the scenes of your marketing. It's been so fun having you here. And I'd just love to share with our listeners, where can they go to learn a little more about you, your business, and your amazing photography work?
So you can find me mostly on Instagram if you haven't noticed. My handle is Kate Elaine Photo, KateElaine Photo. And you can go to my website at kate-elaine.com. And that's where you'll be able to find out more about myself and what I like to do, my portfolio, and the awesome contact form that we were talking about.
Well, thank you so much. Those links will be in our show notes for everyone who's listening. And I really appreciate your time today.
Yes, thank you so much, Lauren. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.